It's Abundant Living, your guide to experiencing a more abundant life in Jesus Christ, with your host, founder of AbundantLiving.org, David Leisenfeld.
Hello and welcome to the Abundant Living program. I am David Leisenfeld. Glad you're joining me here today as we talk about having a more abundant life in Jesus Christ. And we've been talking here on the program the last several weeks about some of the basic practices, the disciplines that Christians perform as disciples of Jesus Christ. And these things are not just about the disciplines. You know, we've been talking about prayer. We talked about Bible study. We'll be talking about meditation and fasting and fellowship here in the future. But I want us to realize that the practices of Christianity, the things that God teaches us, are not just about doing practices. It's not about checking off a box that I prayed or checking off a box that I studied God's Word and now I'm holy. But it is about using these practices and tools to refine ourselves before God, and God uses them to refine us so that He can change us from who we are today into who He would have us become as His children, so that we have a relationship with God, so that we learn to think as God thinks, as we learn to take from His wisdom and His love and His influence, and our hearts and our minds are changed, so that we let go of our pride and we put on His great humility. You realize no one is more humble than God. Jesus Christ gave up being equal with God and made Himself of no reputation to come in the form of a servant, to become like a man and allow His own creation to put Him to death. And you really think about that. You really meditate on that. You have a deep appreciation for the humility of God, for the love of God, that God would even think about us or consider us. Because when we sinned, He could have just scrapped the whole project, start over, do over, but He didn't do it that way. Because He loves us and cares about us, He wants to restore us and reconcile us. And so I hope that you realize what a deep love God, our Father in heaven, has for you. I hope you realize how deep and how great the love is that Jesus Christ has for you. That you can trust that love, that they are willing to sacrifice it all. And Jesus sacrificed it all for you and for me, so that we could know God, that we could experience eternal life with God. And that is what abundant life is all about. Having a relationship with God, knowing God, and realizing what is important in life and what's not so important. To realize that we have been made by God, that we are the creation made in the image and likeness of God. And we, though we are of the flesh and we're composed of dust, that we have been ordained for glory. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Read the whole chapter. It's a really awesome chapter about what God has in store for us. And so I hope you'll read that and be encouraged by that this week. And we're going to talk more about prayer today, because prayer is such an awesome thing. And if you ever miss part of these programs, I want you to go to our website. It's www.abundantliving.org, abundantliving.org. You can find out, listen to the radio programs there. You can read articles that are designed to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ. And also, there's audio messages there. Just click on audios. There's many full-length sermon messages, like 45 to 50 minutes in length, to really help you and encourage you in your walk with Jesus Christ. And I know that you're going to find benefit in these things, so I hope you'll take advantage of the programs that are there, that you can learn more about God, more about His Word. And I want you to be prepared for the return of Jesus Christ. And I want to be preparing you as a disciple, that you can learn what God says so that we can do it and walk in it. As Jesus said, go preach the gospel, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things I've commanded. And that's what we do here on the Abundant Living program, to realize that abundance comes not as we live according to our own ways, but as we give our lives to Jesus Christ and we do the things that He's commanded us. For blessed is the man who is a doer of the word and not the hearer only. Now, last week we were talking about Moses, and we were looking at these incredible examples from Numbers 11 and Numbers 12 and Numbers 14 about how when Moses was leading the children of Israel, the Israelites complained against him personally and against God. And God made judgments and said, you know, if they're complaining, then I will give them the destruction. He sent fire in. He made Miriam leprous. He told Moses to get away from the people because he was going to disinherit them and strike them all and make a great nation of Moses. And yet, every time that we looked at in Numbers 11 and Numbers 12 and Numbers 14, even after God had pronounced the judgment, when it would have been so easy for Moses to just say, well, you know, you backstab me, you backstab God, and now you're going to pay for it. Every time, in his great humility, Moses stepped in and interceded on behalf of the people. Even though they transgressed, even though they did what was wrong, even though God in his righteousness pronounced judgment, Moses pleaded on their behalf for God to forgive and for God to pardon. At the end of Numbers chapter 14, when Moses was making this plea, and he was saying, look at God, for your own name's sake, forgive them. Show the greatness in your forgiveness. Do not disinherit them. Do not strike them down. And Moses said in verse 19 of Numbers chapter 14, again, verse 19, pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. The power to intercede, the power to go to God on behalf of another. That is part of the power that God gives to you when he calls you to be his child. When he calls you to be part of a royal priesthood. You know, you've been called by God, chosen by God to be part of a royal priesthood that intercedes, that makes decisions, that makes judgments on this earth. And God wants to be learning about how we think and how we judge. And God wants us to learn how he thinks and judges so that we can have eyes like him, so that we can look like him. And notice in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a holy priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And he also says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 4, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You are, as living stones, are becoming built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. One of these acceptable sacrifices is when we, in our prayer, lay down our lives for the life of another person. Moses was told by God that he was going to make a great nation of him, and he was going to strike down all the Israelites. The Israelites who had been complaining, the Israelites who had been a headache, you could say, to Moses. And that would have been the easy way out. But Moses interceded on their behalf, and God wants us to know that he did. He wants us to see this example, that he was playing an agent of mercy on behalf of the people. Notice again in Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21 and verse 5. And it says, and the people spoke against God and Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of the land of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul lulls this worthless bread. And what bread was that? Well, that was the manna that God was feeding them. And they were tired of it. They're sick and tired of what God was providing for them. And so it says in verse 6 that the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. I want you to notice again that the people let Moses know, hey, we've been talking bad about you. We've been talking bad about God. And we've sinned against God and you. But now bail us out again. And what did Moses do? It said, so Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent,
he lived.
So Noah, the snakes were still there. They were still getting bit. But there was healing that God was offering because Moses prayed on behalf of the people. Now, one of the questions that we need to ask ourselves is, are we taking the time in prayer, using the authority that Jesus gives to us as we are children of God, to go in prayer on behalf of others, to seek for their forgiveness? You realize this is one of the roles that Jesus does even now, today. Notice in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, it says, therefore he, and this is speaking of Jesus, that he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. I love that about Jesus, that he lives to make intercession for us. We need help. We need our high priest interceding on our behalf. How thankful are you to Jesus that he is interceding for you? And I ask myself the same question. How awesome is that, that Jesus is interceding on our behalf for our good, to pray for us? But we should be interceding on behalf of those we sin. It's easy to look and see the sins of others. It's easy to judge. It's easy to say, well, if they're suffering because of it, it's their own fault. Certainly Moses could have said that in all four of these occasions that we've read here this week and last week when the Israelites were sinning. He could have just said, well, hey, you're getting what you deserve. Take your lumps, buddy. You know, but he didn't do it that way. And God could have just let us be destroyed. He didn't have to send Jesus to die for us. He didn't have to send Jesus to be the propitiation and the sacrifice for our sins. But he did. Because he loves us and wants to restore us. God has hope for you. That you will turn to him with all your heart. And that you will become a child of God. And that you will give your life for him as Jesus gave his life for you. And that you will give your life not in a physical dying, but in a living death, being a living sacrifice, that every day we give up of ourselves to put on what God would have us to do, to live according to his will and his plan. And part of that is that we go after the salvation of others in prayer, that we take up our time rather than making requests for us. We're going to take that time and make requests on behalf of others. Notice this in 1 John 5. 1 John 5 and verse 16 says that if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life. That is, God will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death, and I do not say you should pray about that. But notice here what he's saying. That if you see your brother sinning a sin, not unto death, that you may go to God on their behalf and say, God, please grant me forgiveness for them for this sin that they're committing. And that God will give them life. He will forgive them because you asked. A part of our work as a royal priesthood of God is that we go to God on behalf of those we know, those we see, our family, our friends, our associates, that we pray for the sinner. That we pray for those that we see sinning. God does want us to make judgments. He wants us to make determinations and realize that what God wants is their restoration. And God wants us to want their restoration as well. Their forgiveness, their healing, not to delight in their judgment, not to delight that they fall, not to delight that they sin, but rather to ask God to forgive them. And to give them that spirit of repentance that they may have life that comes in when we follow his ways. Now we're going to continue talking about this, so don't go away. We're going to take a short break here, and then we'll be back on the Abundant Living Program.
Is your home filled up with stuff while you yourself are empty? Are you living an unfulfilled life? If so, you need to go to abundantliving.org. AbundantLiving.org is a website designed to help you discover your awesome potential. God made you in His image so that you can grow and experience the abundant life He enjoys. Many people search for meaning in life, but there is only one place to find a life worth living. Go to AbundantLiving.org and find the answers to living a successful and abundant life in Jesus Christ. You will discover who you are and how to have peaceful, joyful life as you learn more about God and the reasons He made you. Great health and wealth mean nothing if you're empty inside. Seek the riches that last forever. Go to AbundantLiving.org. AbundantLiving.org, the website with signposts for success.
Welcome back here to the Abundant Living Program. Glad you're joining me today. I am David Liesenfeld. We're talking about prayer today. And I want to encourage you, if you missed part of these programs, go to our website. It's www.abundantliving.org, abundantliving.org. And you can hear previous radio broadcasts. You can listen to full-length audio messages, sermon messages that are designed to encourage you and inspire you in your walk with Jesus Christ, to teach you what the Bible says, that we may live by it. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And there's also articles there designed for the same purposes, all to help you understand and appreciate who you are in Jesus Christ, and to realize that we are being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And we keep pressing on, encouraging one another, strengthening one another, until we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so we keep on in this pursuit. And part of the reason we're talking about prayers, we're talking about disciplines, practices that Christians do to help us become more like God, to help us become more like Jesus Christ, to have the heart of God, to see the world, to see life, to make judgments as God makes those judgments. And so I hope you'll take advantage of the things that are Abundant Living, and I hope that you're enjoying the series we're doing on these basic Christian practices. And I'd also like to invite you out to our church, Rock Valley Christian Church in Lake Elsinore, California. We are a small church. That's the way I like it, because I want to be a helper in your joy, a helper to you in becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we do that by worshiping God, by praying to God, and by having sound Bible teaching and a lot of Bible in our teaching at our services. And so I hope that you'll come on out to Rock Valley Christian Church in Lake Elsinore, California. For more information, dial this toll-free number, 800-799-5199. Again, we meet Saturdays at 10:30 a.m. in Lake Elsinore. The phone number is 800-799-5199. And what you can find and expect to find is people who want to love and worship God, who want to pray to God and share with each other, and people who want to hear the Word of God taught. And so we do put more Bible reading into our sermons and messages than is typical, because we stand on God's Word. And it's not about my opinions, it's about God's opinion. It's not about my teaching, it's about what God teaches. And we can put our faith and hope in His Word and in His promises and in His instructions. And when He tells us what to do or what not to do, or He tells us this is what we can expect or this is what we can hope for, we find that out because we put our faith and hope in His Word, in His teaching, and in His instruction. So come on out to Rock Valley Christian Church. And for information, you can dial that toll-free number, 800-799-5199, or go to AbundantLiving.org. You can click on Rock Valley Christian Church and find out information there. Now, we've been talking again about prayer and how God wants us to be praying for others, for their forgiveness, for their healing, as Moses did. And as we read about this instruction here in 1 John 5, pray that others be forgiven. And God wants us to intercede on their behalf. Now you could say, why does God want us to do this? Well, it is part of becoming like God. We are being trained to be like God. And so God has spent all this time and all this energy in making us because he is bringing many sons to glory. And he spent all this time and energy to send his son Jesus to the earth to die for us. What a sacrifice that has been made. Because he cares about us and loves us, he gave it all so that we could have life. Now, I want you to think about that, because we give our lives for others when we lay it down in prayer to think about them, to beseech God, to pray to God, to call out, to cry out to God, to ask him to forgive, to heal, or to bless someone else. Will you lay down your life for another in prayer? Will you crucify your flesh so that you can help them be lifted up in spirit? That is a question that we need to ask. When we take the time to pray, are we just praying for ourselves, for what we want? Are we selfish? Or are we looking to intercede for others? Notice this in James 5, verse 13 to 16. Some will ask, who am I that I should pray and receive forgiveness for somebody else? I want you to notice here in James chapter 5. James chapter 5 will begin in verse 13. James 5 and verse 13. And it says this. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now notice then what it says. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And you can say, God can do all these things. God already knows what we need. God can do anything. He doesn't need us. But remember that God's plan is to develop you into a child of God. God doesn't need us. God wants us. And he wants us to be part of this process. And he wants us to learn to be more like him. And so he's saying, look, when somebody's sick, call for the elders of the church and have them come anoint with oil and pray. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now, are you practicing this in your walk as Christians? Because God does respond to this. Just had a gentleman come to me a couple weeks ago who really wrenched his back. But in faith, he believed and he came and asked, will you please pray for me? Will you anoint me with oil, as this says? Well, absolutely. And it's not about me. It's about him responding to God's word and Jesus Christ being faithful. And we anointed him with oil and he was healed. And I was just talking to him yesterday and he said, it's just so awesome. He said, my back was out. It was so bad. And he said, ever since you prayed for me, I could feel it. And I have been great ever since. I've been out mowing the lawn and doing all these things. He received his healing from Jesus Christ because he believed in God and he followed God's word. And it was God's will to heal him right then and there. And you have to believe and know that God loves you and God wants to heal you and God wants to raise you up. And so we have that faith and trust no matter what we see with our eyes. Sometimes God heals right then and sometimes God makes us be patient. But either way, we should have faith. But do we have any right to expect that God would hear us? Notice what it says here as we continue on in James chapter 5, verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again and the heaven gave rain and the earth produced its fruit. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was in the flesh just like you and me. Sometimes we want to build up the men of God to be something so much greater and higher than us, but realize that their greatness came from him, the same him, Jesus Christ, who wants to bring it to you in your life, who wants to answer your prayers, who wants to grant you the things that you ask according to the will of God. For we know that if we ask according to his will, we will receive. And so don't give up because of what you see in this world or your experiences, but believe and trust in the word of God and realize that God wants us to be praying, to be making judgments, to be developing ourselves, to be changing as we pray and as we give our lives to Him in prayer. So I hope you enjoyed this part on prayer. Join us again here next week for more on the Abundant Living Program.
Is your home filled up with stuff while you yourself are empty? Are you living an unfulfilled life? If so, you need to go to AbundantLiving.org. AbundantLiving.org is a website designed to help you discover your awesome potential. God made you in His image so that you can grow and experience the abundant life He enjoys. Many people search for meaning in life, but there is only one place to find a life worth living. Go to AbundantLiving.org and find the answers to living a successful and abundant life in Jesus Christ. You will discover who you are and how to have peaceful, joyful life as you learn more about God and the reasons He made you. Great health and wealth mean nothing if you're empty inside. Seek the riches that last forever. Go to AbundantLiving.org. AbundantLiving.org, the website with signposts for success.